give dressage and orphans were my cowgirl prayers. Gotta raise some money to save the camp, I swear, or save the ranch, or save the farm. Lord knows they're always in financial trouble. It's cowgirl summer with pure boys. Hallelujah, amen. Heaven bless the show, Heartland.
Heartland.
Hallelujah, amen. Amen.
Yeehaw! What's up, Fudgebaggers? Welcome to Pure Boys Podcast. Aaron Black. Whew, forgot my name there for a minute. And cheers.
And I'm David A.R. White. We're hitting you up with Heartland, Episode 3, New Year, New P.
That, weirdly enough, that is the title of the episode. I can't believe that they would make such a tasteless joke so early in the series.
It's incredibly tasteless. I'm surprised it made its way from a little idea in the pea-brain mind of stupid writer all the way to the top of CBC CEO, and it was approved.
Yeah, wild that CBC could just play so fast and loose with good taste and appropriateness.
Oh, definitely appropriateness. They're on the leading edge. They're Humpty Dumptying it as far as tasting.
Hey, did you know that in the Humpty Dumpty story, it's never mentioned that he's an egg? Have you ever heard that before? That he's not, doesn't say he's an egg.
No, but the drawers of the interpretation made it into an egg, and sure. Now it's an egg.
Sure, yeah, of course. I mean, nobody said old King Cole. I mean, I guess they do say he's a merry old soul, but like they don't say what he is. Maybe he's an egg too.
I guess when they turned it from like an age-old tale about being careful to like a cartoon for kids, they didn't want it to be like a brutal reminder of like falling over and like breaking your neck and totally effing yourself up.
Right, of course. Humpty Dumpty, when he had a great fall, he smashed his skull open and his brains came pouring out. And none of the king's horses who were somehow involved, and clearly none of the king's men who were obviously involved, couldn't put his brains back in his head. Obviously. Yeah.
But it was just an egg, so nobody really gives a shit.
Yeah, they just scrambled him up and had a great fall after that point.
The greatest fall of all. Shall we salute Mr. Eggman himself, Humpty Dumpty, here's to you, my great king.
30 more years of Humpty Dumpty.
Yes, please.
Oh, God bless, and salute.
And salute. That could be a weekly thing.
Oh, who do we salute this week?
Well, weekly salute to Humpty Dumpty himself.
Sure, take a minute every week to just remember our fallen hero. Pour one out for our dead homie, Humpty Dumpty.
Just 1 minute a week. I mean, it's the least we could do for fair old Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah. You know what he gave for us? He gave everything so that we could learn a lesson about being safe and responsible.
Yeah. I still stubbed my toe like a lot when I was a kid, and I'm pretty sure that's why I have arthritis down there. But I haven't broken my head open. I did break a femur. So, I mean, do better, Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. I mean, geez. David A.R. White, the Humpty Dumpty of Pure Boys Podcast.
I also think about that sort of thing, and it was probably not his teachings that failed me, but me not listening.
Right. You see an egg having a bad time, and you think, well, that's a funny little egg. You don't think about the ramifications of that and why, the reality of why it happened. What was Humpty Dumpty doing on that wall?
Not until this very moment, this very signifying linear point in my existence where I was pre-teachings of Humpty Dumpty, and now I'm post-teachings of Humpty Dumpty and will live with that forever.
And you're going to be passing on those teachings to the next generation and the next generation and, hell, even the generation after that.
Yeah, we should come out with a new Humpty Dumpty book, and it can be, like, Heartland-based. We could have all the characters there. We could have Grandpa Jack.
Sure.
Amy.
Sure.
Lou.
Sure. Scott Cardinal.
Right.
Oh, sorry, Dr. Scott Cardinal.
Yeah, DR.
Mm-hmm. DR. Of course, classic. Yeah, classic Scott Cardinal, yeah. Hey, way to bring it all back to Heartland Dumpty is what we'll call it.
Heartland Dumpty. I think that would sell.
I mean, it might. I don't know how popular Heartland is, so maybe you slap Heartland on anything and it'll sell.
When I was a kid, my little stuffed animal that I would drag around everywhere was an egg-ish, like, stuffed animal? Stuffed egg, I guess?
Sure, stuffed egg-imal, sure.
I'm pretty sure I called him Iggy.
What do you mean? Like, he was an egg?
Yeah, he was an egg. He had blue pants. He was an egg.
Yeah.
Of course he had blue pants.
Of course.
And it was just like a stuffed bunny or something like that. Okay. But it was an egg.
Did he have arms? He clearly had legs if he was wearing pants.
Yeah, he had arms. I believe his arms were blue as well. Like, it was like overall situation that he had going on. Just like Humpty Dumpty themselves.
Of course, yeah. Oh, I thought it was like an Alvin Law situation where legs, no arms.
No, I would have remembered that, maybe.
Hey, did Alvin Law ever come to your elementary school and play the drums with his feet?
I was not in the big city, but I'm pretty sure he did. I was going to say no, he didn't, but like as I thought about it, I think he totally did, like maybe even a couple of times.
Right? Alvin Law's the man. I interviewed him on an old podcast I used to do, and Alvin Law is a cool guy. I like him a lot. He was he sent me a copy of his book, and I did not read it, and I think I've lost it, but maybe it's around somewhere. Who knows?
Did you read the prologue or like a sample chapter or anything, like Eclipse Notes?
Oh, I know I read the back of it for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and
I guess if you have Alvin Law in the room, you ask him to tell him your story. You don't want to read it from some stupid book.
Well, that's what I said. I said, recite this book from memory, please. And he was like, no problem. In the beginning, there was the heavens and the earth.
God.
God, yeah. And it was good. And then, yada, 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 I am the beginning and the end. And then he recited the whole thing for me. It was beautiful.
Born with no arms, yeah.
Born with no arms, yeah. Easy birth. Just zipped right out of there. No arms to get in the way.
You're more, proportional to come out of a vagina.
Yeah, you're streamlined.
Like, if it wasn't for the arms, you're totally straight. You're like a line.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, if you take away the arms, you're basically a dolphin.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Kind of, not really. Like, let's say you took a dolphin, you took its fins off. Mm-hmm. Then that's basically a baby with born with no arms. Essentially, yeah, the same thing.
They're more silky smooth, and they're probably more agile, or maybe less agile. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a biologist.
I mean, you're a dolphin whisperer. We all know that.
No, I don't whisper at dolphins. I listen.
Hey, that's one of the best running gags on Heartland, Season 1, Episode 3, Breaking Free, New P.
New P. And they put on a open house.
Yeah.
Open ranch?
Wait a minute. Hang on. I mean, yes, they put on an open house, an open ranch for everybody. We can't get too deep into the episode yet because we've still got a segment we got to get to. But, that's the story of Heartland.
Heartland. They're not saving the ranch this day. They're saving. Well, they are.
They are
through promotion.
I'd argue everything they do is in an effort to save the ranch.
Yeah, and it's all on little Amy's shoulders.
I mean, she put it there. To be fair, she came home and was like, "I'm carrying this ranch on my back now."
Well, her mom put it there by dying.
Well, yeah, that's true too. Yeah, her mom was like, my last gift to you is all of this weight and responsibility at 15 years old. Good luck to you. See you in hell.
Yeah, and all the daughter was doing was, ah!
Oh, the truck's flipping, Ma!
Could you repeat that?
I got sand in my ears.
Yeah, it's a windy sand.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's the windy sandy for sure. Well... Hey, you know what? We haven't even done the Pure Boys prayer yet.
Yeah, we got to clap.
God bless our podcast, please.
God bless all podcasts, please.
We love you, please.
Love you, please.
We love you, please. Amen.
Or
a woman. You usually say amen right after, so.
I didn't want to do it today.
You do that all the time, where you do things one way for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then one time you go, well, what's the thing you do? And I go, it's after the thing you do. What do you mean? We have a system. You don't just get to change the system up and then go, You're not doing your part. You're not doing your part.
Well, I'm not trying to say you're not doing your part. I was just waiting for you to do the thing that you do, only that I had to do my thing. And we got cross-motionations and their heads started exploding, you know.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's I can't introduce myself without saying "and chiz," or else you don't know when to start talking.
I really don't. Like, I'm just like a blank canvas until you say chiz or yiz or new year, new pee, something. Something liquid or thickwood.
Should we, instead of saying amen, should we start saying yeehaw?
Yeah.
It's the same amount of syllables.
I also think God will respect that.
Yeah. And we can also say or ye woman. That's fine too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yee man.
All right. Should we try the prayer again just with the new ending attached to it?
Okay, let's shake it out a little bit. Let's get loose and goose. Let's really try to feel this one. We can't cut any of this out. Let's clap. God bless our podcast, please. God bless all podcasts, please. We love you, please. Yee-haw. Man.
Oh, ye men. Oh, boy, that's different. Or ye woman.
Or ye woman.
Or ye woman. Ye men. I don't know how I feel about ye men. I guess we'll see. We'll try it on next week, see how she feels.
What about Jack bless all podcasts, please?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, Grandpa Jack bless our podcast, please. Grandpa Jack bless all podcasts, please. I mean, that's good too. Yeah, yeehaw or ye woman.
It's a mouthful, but as far as I'm concerned, Grandpa Jack is my new god.
Oh, geez, to bring it back to throwback for the show, it's a mouthful, but it's a mouthful I'm willing to take.
Yeah, very much so. So is it for every 40 to 60-year-old lady in the town they're in?
Yeah, everybody wants a piece of Grandpa Jack, including yourself and myself.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's got the pick of the litter, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and I think he might pick a litter in this episode.
Hey, well, he might be thinking about it anyway. There's certainly one litter that he's closing the door on, that's for sure.
He certainly gets horny for at least 30 seconds.
Yeah, I love Grandpa Jack's arc because he gets really horny for a few seconds and then starts crying about his dead daughter. Like, almost immediately afterwards. It's a real roller coaster. That whole barbecue is a real roller coaster for him.
His daughter is dead, though.
Yeah, but for like, I don't know, a month at this point? Come on, Grandpa Jack.
I side with Grandpa Jack. Take as much time as you need. Recovery is the process.
He's like, I just wanted to come out here and flip burgers. Now I got chicks trying to hang off my dinger and people reminding me of my dead daughter. I'm just trying to flip burgers here. Damn it, let me flip.
Poorly, I might add. It seems like he's burning the crap out of some of those burgers and like taking them off and then putting them back on the heat.
Right.
Like,
yeah, take them off, put them on a plate for a few minutes so they get room temperature, then put them back and keep cooking them. Only cook half of them at a time, though, but you gotta let them cool off between flippings.
I also love how he says, I'm running out of burgers. And there's like 100 burgers right in front of him getting cooked.
Well, he just needed an excuse to go cry.
Yeah. Oh, I need to go. What? Why not just say that? I need to go cry, please.
Are you kidding me? It's 2007. He's a man.
Right, yeah. I always forget that this is the before times.
Yeah, the well before times.
Oh, yeah.
This is Aaron Black just not graduated from high school not too long ago times.
Very much so, yeah. I had already burgeoned onto society for a little while now, so.
Well, I think I was doing HVAC work at the time. I think I was like being a refrigeration repairman in 2007.
Oh, that's beautiful. Nah. I remember you loving that so much.
Wrong.
Every day.
Incorrect. Yeah, wrong assessment. No, you read it wrong. I hated it, yeah.
And you talked about how much Skrilla you were making, oh, and you like rained money all over us.
I was making a lot of Skrilla, that's true, yeah. But, hey, speaking of Skrilla, we got to get to what is now everyone's favorite segment, because we destroyed everyone's previous favorite segment. And that is, of course, David A.R. White, what? Whomst was the Bagger Vance? Whomst was the Bagger Vance of season one, episode two of Heartland?
Well, I really actually thought about this, and I honestly couldn't tell you what really happened in last episode, so this was really hard for me. But it was definitely Grandpa Jack. He was strong and firm with Lou. He was soft and gentle with Amy. And he put that piece of crap Val in her place. Mm-hmm. And it's Grandpa Jack, baby.
He mended that, brother.
Or you woman.
Or you woman. All right.
Now, Aaron Black.
Yeah.
Tell me true. Whom's do you think was the Beggar Vance of episode 2, After the Storm?
Oh, well, thank you so much for asking, David. God, it's so hard not to just call you Steve, and because it's just so ingrained in who I am now.
Yeah,
That's not even your name to begin with.
No, we're using fake names, and we live in Canada.
Yeah, that part's true. Names are fake. I guess for me, because I also don't really remember what happened in the last episode, boy, this is going to be a real struggle for this series, I think. To me, the Beggar Vance of Season 1, Episode 2 was, of course, Grandpa Jack, who may be my Beggar Vance every episode, as far as I'm concerned.
I honestly thought this segment was going to be great because everything kind of streams together and ties in with each other, but it's turned it into a mucky mess.
Yeah, because I know what happens on the show, but I don't remember, and we're only 3 episodes in, and I already don't remember what individually happens. Anyway, that's the end of this segment.
Yeah.
Maybe forever. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, for it. Well.
Maybe forever. I don't know. Who cares? Once we're not doing movies anymore, it doesn't really make sense to keep doing this.
No, I thought it made more sense, but in turn it makes less sense. I think we got Humpty Dumpty now.
Yeah, Hoomps was the Humpty Dumpty, of course, yeah.
We'll give a minute salute to Humpty Dumpty, and then probably talk about him for like 5 minutes.
Oh, what a hunk he was. What a cool guy he was.
Maybe we'll read it.
Yeah, sure. Hey, he had a great fall.
Listeners,
you might be wondering, Aaron Black's been teasing this surprise for weeks now, and he hasn't told us what it is. Well, it's not really a surprise to you. It's more for my co-host here. But I went to a garage sale and picked up a DVD copy. That's right, of The Legend of Beggar Vance.
Is it full screen or widescreen?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Widescreen. It's widescreen.
Widescreen. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I saw the gold title at the top, and I was like, oh yeah, it was either full screen or widescreen. That's so weird.
So dumb.
Yeah. Dumb.
Dumb that you make things that don't fit the screen you're watching on. Dumb.
Yeah, but like, screens have evolved so much over the last
we can't hold The Legend of Beggar Vance to the quality of screens we have today. That's not fair.
I have an LCD screen from like 10 years ago, and it was very new, very beautiful screen. The color saturation on it is absolutely perfect. But it's not even the right ratio of screens nowadays, so things don't fit exactly correctly anymore.
Ugh, that's
it's so dumb.
That's so frustrating.
It's so frustrating.
It's so hard for us not having screens that fit our media.
Yeah, these media moguls.
I mean, you know what does fit on every screen, though? And that's season 1, episode 3 of Heartland, Breaking Free.
Yeah, it fit my screen perfectly.
It was a dream looking at it up on the screen.
Yeah, there wasn't a centimeter of wasted space on that whole screen. You could you could watch the corner of the screen and you'd be amazed at what you'd get take in.
You'd still be watching Heartland if you were watching the corner.
Yeah. First off, I want to get your episode 3 thoughts on the theme song. Has it changed since last episode?
No, I love it even more now. It's really grown. I guess it's changed in that I love it even more now. There's you know, it's just like, it's this really nice kind of like a warm embrace from Grandpa Jack is what it's starting to feel like. And most excitingly, like, there's shots in it that I was like, oh, these are like very stylistic shots made for the opening credits. No, they're just taken from this episode.
Yeah, the series is evolving. Who knows if that'll be like the intro? It seems like little things, especially with the intro credits, are changing every week so far. I wonder when they'll land on something.
What do you think's changing in there? I don't know. I didn't notice anything like that.
Well, you said that the intro was scenes of this episode.
No, it always is. The shots of, like, the hands touching the horse and the, like, the saddle being tightened, that's from this episode. I thought they were made for the opening credits, but no, it's just these weird, out-of-place clips that were in this episode that are like, wait, this is shot completely different from the show, and then you see it in the credits and go, oh, that's why. Okay, that makes sense.
I was in the kitchen during the opening credits today.
Well, what would you think of the song? Can you sing it for us?
Dream.
Yeah.
That's about it. Yeah.
It's if there's one thing that we love on the show is dissecting opening credits on TV series.
Mm-hmm.
They're important.
If those hands weren't attached to, if they were attached to Lou, that would have been great for me.
Well, yeah, because you can lust after her. You can't lust after a 15-year-old girl. No,
not even once.
No, not even once.
An iota.
Mm-mm. And you shouldn't. You shouldn't, no. Listeners.
But it's a very smooth and non-sensual grasp of a horse.
Dream. Just touch that horse. You gotta ride that horse bareback.
Yeah, that was probably the best part of this episode, is that you have to ride a horse bareback because a blind dude rode her bareback.
I don't know. How did that blind guy even know he was getting on the same horse every time?
That's a good question. I wonder if he was asked that for years and then went crazy.
If someone was just like, oh, your white horse is a beautiful horse. He's like, I thought my horse was brown. They're like, no, she's white. She's been white this whole time.
What is the snow? Maybe it got alopecia.
Oh, an Appalachian with alopecia. Now we're talking.
That's also not what happens with alopecia. Your hair just falls out, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess there's not albino, maybe, is what you're thinking?
What happened to Michael Jackson?
Oh, well, he was horribly abused by his father to become the ultimate pop star, and then he fulfilled that promise and became the ultimate pop star, and then potentially molested some kids. The jury's kind of out on that one. Court of public opinion has made up its own mind, but, you know, was never convicted. And then, disappeared for a little while, built a theme park in his backyard, and then tried to stage a comeback, and then was... hopefully this isn't slander, but potentially killed by negligence from his doctor.
Or still alive,
frozen, got his head frozen, just like Walt Disney.
No, he's probably like in Botswana, chilling in like a village or something.
Yeah, imagine being Michael Jackson, just being like, I'm going to disappear back into society. Good luck, freak, good luck.
Have you heard the audio recordings of him just talking like a normal adult?
What do you mean? Like,
he's not Jackson. Putting on that voice. The hee-hee.
That's his... I thought that was his voice.
Nah, he's the normal adult that can talk like a normal adult.
Oh, he's just like, what's up? I need someone to suck my dick. And you're like, oh my God, Michael Jackson, calm down.
Yeah, as long as they're of age. I mean, sure.
Sure. Yeah, all stars and stripes. Go for it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I haven't heard that audio. What does he sound like? Can you do an impression of Michael Jackson? Normal voiced?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what up? It's me, Michael Jackson.
Hee hee.
Hee hee, I'm going to yeet the pop charts. And they're like, yeet? It's 2006. Why are you saying that? And he's like, oh, never mind.
Trendsetter.
I'm from the future.
It'd be cool if you could, like, inject a goo and become, like, Little Romeo from Honey.
Explain. Expand on that.
Well, I feel like if anybody had the money, it was Michael Jackson.
Yes.
And gets like a serum, and he was actually Lil Romeo the whole time. Especially the Lil Romeo from Honey.
Who is Lil Romeo? I'm not sure.
He's like
this
dance, like pop star from like the mid 2000s.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
the Honey era.
I know Lil Bow Wow, of course.
Yeah, Lil Bow Wow. He was like, Lil Bow Wow got too old and they needed a new one. So they went with Little Romeo.
Oh, that's too bad. Oh, you're no longer a little Bow Wow.
No, you're a big Bow Wow who needs to be in Madea movies.
Yeah, you're too big, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, he got too swole, too.
Damn. Oh, Little Romeo's dad is Master P. Okay, now it all makes sense. Nepotism. He's a nepotism baby. Got it.
Yeah, Master P.
Yeah, Master P, of course. Yeah.
I was watching Honey, of course.
Of course, yeah. Jessica Alba, classic.
And wouldn't you know it, but Maestro Fresh Wes pops on the screen, and he has a very big role in that film, and I was very proud of him. I saluted.
Wow. I know that name, but I couldn't tell you who that is. Is he a Canadian hip-hopper?
Is a Canadian hip-hop artist turned actor.
The only Canadian rapper I know is Cardinal Official. I couldn't even name you one other one.
Not a single one.
Not a single one? Nope. Oh, that's not true. Mad Child, Prevail, of course. Mocha Only, yeah, there's another one. I guess I can name a few. I can name a few.
Mocha Only, I think you might be my salute next week. Oh my God, Mocha Only. What a great name. Also, Maestro Fresh Wes, great name.
Yeah, for sure, of course. Rolls right off the taint.
Yeah.
Oh,
so Mocha that's only. A Mocha salute
only.
To you.
Yeah, he'll definitely be our Humpty Dumpty next week, Mocha Only.
Yes. I also feel like it'd be great if we saw some of these hip-hop characters in Heartland.
It would be insane if Swollen Member showed up to perform at a barn dance.
A barn burning?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
That's a barn dance, but a barn burning is good, too. I'm fine with that, too.
Yeah. Well, when the Swollen Member show up to a barn, they're going to burn it down.
Yeah, of course they are. They're going to play Steppin' Through, and they're going to burn that barn to the ground.
They're going to fake like they're rejuvenating the grass, but it's going to be right beside the barn, and then they're just going to light the barn on fire.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, what? It was just a party that turned into a barn burning.
Oh, yeah, that's a song right there. Swollen Members, hit us up for song ideas.
If Nelly can become a country artist, so can you, Swollen Members.
It'd be funny if they did the Nelly before him.
Huh?
Well, if it, in Heartland they do a song with, like, Grandpa Jack.
Oh, like they come out and do a country song, and people just kind of forgot that Swollen Members were country artists for a little while.
Yeah, did it first.
I get it, yeah. You know, Nelly put out a country album a couple years ago, and it's not bad. There's a few good songs on it that I was like, damn, these are pretty good songs, Nelly. You got a pretty good voice. Yeehaw.
Yeehaw! Thank you, Nelly, for all you do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Blanco Brown, for making for bridging that gap between hip hop and country.
Or maybe the Swollen Members in season 2 of Heartland. We don't know yet.
Or Ye Woman. I guess we'll see.
That's my prediction.
Hey, we're so far from season 2. We got to get through season 1, episode 3, Breaking Free.
Heck yeah. What do you think of that title? Do you think they break free?
No, not really. I don't really know what that's referring to in terms of maybe they're breaking. Nope. I don't know what that's referring to in this episode. That's just a name they gave it. That's the trouble with naming your episodes, is that 3 episodes in, you're already like, I don't know what that's breaking free. I don't know what we call it. I wonder if these are names of like books in the series or it's connected to the book series somehow.
Chapters maybe like,
yeah.
Some kind of situation.
Yeah, it's probably something like that, because it doesn't make any sense. Even After the Storm doesn't make any. I guess it does make a little bit of sense in that context. This, a metaphorical storm for last episode, but yeah, I don't know.
And the real storm that killed Marion.
Well, sure, but also the metaphorical storm that rages in everyone's hearts after the death of Marion.
Rebuilding a ranch and continuing her legacy while also being profitable. And as far as I'm concerned, they fixed that problem in this episode.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, they really. It's like they're wrapping up things in this episode. I was like, oh, I thought there was going to be a season-long arc, but nope, they're just solving problems left, right, and center. All right, yeehaw.
And that WWE star's horse has already came and gone. Like, it doesn't seem like he's going to be back or anything. Yeah. That seemed like it was going to be a season arc for sure.
I thought we were going to get a whole love story with Stephen Amell. And from the looks of it, we're never seeing him again, if I had to guess. That rodeo star is gone and gone.
I wonder if we're even going to see the banker again.
Well, I'm sure, because the ranch is always going to be in trouble. So Lou will always have to be going to the bank to get deals with the bank and all that. I'm sure that banker will be a special guest appearance. Maybe we'll see him like 4 times a season or something like that.
I hope they like zhuzh him up a little bit. I hope he comes with a big gold chain and like slick back hair and maybe like a briefcase or something.
A soul patch.
Yeah.
That's my only complaint about this show, is there's not enough soul patches.
Yeah, cowboy hats and soul patches work. Like, get clued in, society. Do you feel a connection to prairie small towns from this show?
I mean, sure, yeah. I mean, it takes place in Hartford? Heartland Ranch? Yeah. I can't remember. It's a fake town. It's not a real town, but...
No.
But yeah, they go to like the small town. Everyone is dressed like they're a friggin' cowboy, which is very funny. Like, that's not even how people dress in those communities, I would wager. But everybody there's a guy, when they're leaving that diner, when Lou and her friend are leaving that diner, there's like an old-timey prospector that's going in behind them to be like, I gotta get a key lime pie. It's like, what are you doing here, old man?
He's going to come back for sure. I'm surprised that the main street isn't like dirt and like there's not horses everywhere.
Yeah.
But there is angled parking.
Oh, and that's the sign of modern living right there.
Yeah, for sure.
Crack the code on angled parking.
Crack the whip. We got some whipping in this episode.
Yeah. Oh, BR, the bastard ranch, as they might as well call it.
Yeah, bastard ranch. That's a good name for it. With Val and Ashley.
Those
and Jesse.
Bastards. Those bastards. No Jesse, still. Still no Jesse.
He is mentioned because there's a beautiful Ducati.
Oh, boy. I hit my zipper when he said that it was a Ducati. I was like, oh, Hayabusa and a Ducati. I love it.
I hadn't made a single note in my thing until I saw the Ducati, and I wrote Ducati in all capitals with like 10 exclamation
marks. Wait, did you know it was a Ducati before Ty said it was a Ducati? Because I didn't.
Yeah, it said Ducati on the gas tank.
Oh, whoops, I didn't see that.
I was, well, I missed the intro, so I wanted to make sure I was very attentive. And if I see a motorcycle, I gotta check out if it's a Ducati or not.
I can't read Japanese, so I didn't know what it said on the side.
Right. Well, Grandpa Jack and Ty go over to Bastard Ranch to go pick up a free tent for their open house. And Ashley is like, hey, you want to go for a ride with me? And of course, Ty is going to ride that Ducati.
Of course. I love that, like, he's like, yeah, all right. And they just take off and leaving Grandpa Jack there to load that tent by himself. Like, he's just like, F you, Grandpa Jack, and takes off. And then at the end, you know, with Ashley, I love when Ashley Gunn, he's like, hold on. She's like, hold on to what? Figure it out. And then just takes off on this Ducati. So, like, good for him. And so I was like, damn, is Ty and I, they're kind of, because they kind of had a thing and we went to that party a little bit. But at the end, he reveals, no, I just wanted to drive a Ducati. Are you kidding me? I get a chance to ride a Ducati? I'm taking that chance. It's like, all right, Ty, I like you for that. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's definitely just using Ashley for the Ducati. Mm-hmm. But Ashley is going to keep going after him. This is going to be a thing that happens probably for two or three seasons.
Oh, yeah.
Until Amy and Ty tie the knot.
Hey, until Ashley dies in a tragic bucking Bronco accident. Ducati accident, yeah. She's driving her Ducati and a horse crosses the road and she goes underneath it and gets decapitated.
Also, why can't it be her Ducati?
Oh, a girl can't ride a Ducati. Well, it'd have to be pink, and Ty wouldn't ride on a pink motorcycle. Duh.
Even if it was a Ducati TS2000 SS?
Because he would pull up to a light, and someone would go, hey, lady, that's a nice Ducati. And he'd go, oh, I'm not a lady. I'm a man. I'm ye man.
My dink.
You want to see it? I'll show it to you to prove it.
Well, it can't take that sort of razzing.
No, I mean, Ty can't even take someone not wanting to be covered with a blanket in this episode. He Amy's asleep in the barn. He goes to cover her with a blanket. She wakes up with a start and is like, oh, you scared me. He's like, well, geez, don't jump down my throat. I'm just trying to be a nice guy. And it's like, bro, just like, you scared her. What are you thinking?
Yeah. I just think he's not thinking. That's the thing.
Yeah. Oh, but then I like Ty in this episode. Like, sometimes Ty's a dingus and sometimes I like Ty.
It seems like every episode they want to write him doing something irresponsible. So Uncle Jack or Grandpa Jack,
please.
Not uncle. He's uncle to no one.
Well, he might have been an uncle to someone.
Well, we don't know.
Well, we don't.
But maybe. But he pisses Grandpa Jack off, and then he's also super sweet to Amy. Like every episode that's happened.
Yeah. Of course. And I do like in this episode, because Grandpa Jack's giving a lot of grief about setting up the tent, and he's like talking to Amy, and he like gets close to her at one point, and you're like, oh, what's going on? And he goes, would you hate me if your grandpa disappeared? I was like, that's pretty funny. That's a you got a good sense of humor for that one, Ty. That's I like you, Ty.
Yeah, he likes murder.
God bless.
He thinks of a problem and solves it with murder.
Yeah, of course. there's a big story with Pegasus where he's not Pegasus is Dead Mom's horse, and he's not eating, he's not himself, right? He's not doing great, and they can't figure out what's going on with him. And Amy's solution is, oh, aromatherapy, let me just shove bottles of stink in his nose and see which one he likes.
It does work,
I guess. No, not really, he just likes that one. I guess it does work later when they figure out what the actual thing is. Yeah.
But, like, Grandpa Jack thinks he's sick, and everybody's like, oh, you gotta get the vet. But Amy's just like, he's sad. And I guess, like, the whole thing with being a horse, not Whisper, is just, like, treating a horse like a human.
Yeah, a horse listener.
Yeah, horse listener. Mm-hmm. Get it right. Mm-hmm. Get your horse's mouth out of my mouth.
Yeah, correct, yeah. Get your horse's mouth out of my mouth.
Yeah, I said it right.
Oh, okay. I need to derail the show for just a second here. So the other morning I was asleep and I woke up. I don't even know how to describe this, but our male cat, he was like, I must have had just like bad morning bath, because he was like sniffing my mouth, and he was like right up against my mouth, and he was almost like kissing me on the lips, and all I could think was like, oh, if you were my daddy, would you do this? And he's just like just sniffing, touching my mouth with his face.
It's like, if you were my cat, could I do this?
Yeah, exactly. Just made me laugh that morning. Just woke up laughing. That's a great way to start the day.
Maybe you had something in your stash.
Maybe. Or maybe he just loved his dad so much, wanted to give him a big kiss to start the day.
I love that you accepted that with humor and nice feelings, because if my cat ever did that to me, I would just lose it. I'm not a good wake-up person, and I do not like being woken up.
What if you're getting woken up by being topped off?
I'd still be like, what the heck is going on? I'm trying to sleep here.
Yeah, 20 more minutes, please.
Yeah. At least.
Of course.
I gotta get my body battery up, according to my watch.
Oh, body battery. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's the whole promise. No, what's his name? Pegasus storyline, where they're trying to get him better. Turns out he misses the mom, Marion, which makes sense. Like, as Amy says, she's like, she just disappeared one day, as far as he's concerned. She just left and never came back, and he doesn't understand why. And they figure out that, like, oh, her jacket smells like her. We should put her jacket in with Pegasus, and then he'll start eating again, so he'll feel more comfortable.
Although, unlike Amy, I think Pegasus did go to the funeral, so maybe it should know what happened.
Yeah, Pegasus definitely, like, dropped a rose on her casket, and yeah, for sure, yeah, yeah.
He got to say goodbye.
Oh, yeah, he was in the church and everything.
And then there's another horse storyline with a horse that won't get rode, the blind kid's horse.
There's three horse storylines in this, because there's Pegasus, the mom's horse, Promise, the horse that won't get rode because he loves blind people, and then like that $100,000 horse that isn't jumping properly.
Yeah,
that's
they're
a smaller
whipping him
story.
Too much.
Oh, maybe they're not whipping him enough, as far as Val is concerned. I paid $100,000 for this beast, and he won't even jump. What use is he? And Grandpa Jack's like, Jesus Christ.
Val is such the bad guy in this whole show, and it's hard to tell because she's not wearing black.
Yeah, where's her black cowboy hat?
Black shirt, black pants. She should be wearing black the whole time.
Yeah, but then she like gives them the tent to use. Like, Val, you're hot and you're cold and you're yes and you're no.
Here's the thing. This is something that's not explicitly stated in this show, but Grandpa Jack and Ty have a heck of a time putting up this tent.
Yeah.
Like, it is impossible to put up.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Val did that on purpose. They gave him this shitty tent that they would struggle putting up.
Maybe.
And I think even that gift was underhanded.
Like, even Grandpa Jack says, like, I don't think she gave us all the stuff we need for that. I think we're missing pieces of this. And then when we see the, like, open house that they have, the tent's not even there. It's not even a part of the open house because they couldn't get it set up.
Yeah, they wasted hours trying to put this tent up. Val's very underhanded and sneaky, and the writing is very delicious about it.
And pardon my French, but Val is a huge bitch at the end of this episode. Like, a colossal bitch. So they have this open house to try to, like, show people what Heartland Ranch is all about. And Amy's going to show off, like, her success story with Promise, the horse that she figures things out with. Oh, I guess we should talk about Promise real quick, too. He likes blind kids.
Well, he only got ridden by a blind kid, and it was only bareback.
Yeah.
And the blind kid's like, it was like a gift. The Promise was letting me ride her and showing me the way to go. She led the whole way.
Oh, it's like dancing with a girl who knows the steps better than you.
Exactly. Couldn't say it better myself.
And that kid's doing some great blind acting where he's just kind of looking off into the middle distance at nothing. And you go, oh, I believe you're blind.
Yeah. Yeah, we believe you're blind. One thing I couldn't get past, though, is that he had to give up this horse because they moved away to a different city, and yeah, he gave the horse to an amazing, strong-willed female horse riding owner.
Lisa.
Lisa. But, like, how did they get him to the ranch then? If he moved so far away to another city, did they, like, fly him in just to, like, get the story about him touching the horse with the saddle?
Well, I mean, he didn't drive there, I'll tell you that much.
No. Well, with technology these days, who knows?
Yeah,
I mean, but, well, I guess 2007, he didn't have a Tesla.
No, that's exactly what I was thinking. He didn't have a self-driving Tesla that can't wait to run over kids. He didn't do it.
Do you think blind people are just champing at the bit to get into a Tesla and be able to drive themselves around?
For sure, absolutely they are, yeah. They put it in blind mode, so all the steering wheel is now Braille. Everything's Braille in it now.
Yeah, it interprets your surroundings in Braille. Actually, that's a pretty cool idea.
It'd be impossible to keep up with. You're just driving. Yeah. Trees, cars, trees.
Braille.
Yeah. Are these more trees, or are you just not repeating the trees? I don't know how many.
Dot, dot, dot. That's not funny.
Tesla, you can't trail off.
We're not actually laughing.
You can't trail off like that, Tesla. I don't know what that means when you just trail off. You got to keep riding, bud.
Yeah, you got to keep riding.
Hey, cowgirl by choice, got to ride. Blind, not by choice, but cowgirl by choice, got to ride.
I wonder if blind people, like, really took a step backwards when vehicles were invented, because they could ride a horse, because they could ride them.
True,
but
yeah,
they can't ride a vehicle.
Do you think blind people like TV and movies at all? My heart says no.
Yeah, I'd probably stick to reading Braille.
Yeah, probably stick to, I don't know.
I was going to say listening to music.
Sure, touching things. Trying to imagine what colors look like, sure.
If you're blind out there, please go to speakpipe.com/pureboys to leave us a message.
How could they do that?
They got Braille computers.
They don't have Braille computers.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
You can make a self-driving car, but you can't make a Braille computer? Come on now.
Yeah, what, are you going to touch the screen? Yuck.
Yeah.
The oils from your fingers all over your screen? Yuck. And
the screen, like, juts out for different Braille.
It's just one of those, like, nail boards you put your face on at the science center. It's just one of those.
Yeah, and it didn't work because blind people just kept putting it up to their face to, like, feel that sensation.
Wow, it feels like I'm reading War and Peace against my face when I do this.
You think that's still at the Science Center? Because that's like a no-no COVID thing.
Well, sure, but everything at the Science Center is a no-no COVID thing. You're touching and interacting with everything at that place. In fact, I'm sure it's there because I think I went there during, like, major COVID times instead of just the minor COVID times we're in now.
Well, yeah, right at the heat of COVID, you went to the Science Center and demanded them to teach you science.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I want to know. I want to learn. Teach me. And, like, now's not really the time. We're all trying not to die because we don't really understand what's going on yet.
We're in hazmat suits and we shouldn't even be here, but we got to make a living.
Let me put on a hazmat suit and touch that Tesla coil. I want my mustache.
Doesn't work.
I want my mustache to stand on end.
That'd be a good look for you.
Yeah, not bad, eh? So they get this friggin' horse. Amy fixes this horse, figures out, oh, you have to, like, the horse has to give you permission to do all this stuff. And she's never been saddled before, so she doesn't know what it's all about. Which, like, damn, Amy, you're a good horse listener.
Well, the key to a horse lies in the past.
That's true, yeah. Wise words from a dead lady.
Yeah. Passed on to Grandpa Jack, which he doesn't seem to know anything other than what his daughter taught him.
Yeah, but she was very wise because he's very wise.
Very, very wise indeed.
Mm-hmm. So they figure that out. So Lou is putting on a open house to get people to see what, you know, Heartland Ranch is all about. And so Amy's there showing off her success story with Promise. And that's very nice. We don't see... what was her horse's name again? The black horse. The one that, like...
Sturgis?
It's not Sebastian, it's not Sturgis, but it's something like that.
It's probably an S thing. It's like Soldier, I don't know.
Yeah, he's definitely got an STD for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, of course. He's got herpes.
Are you implying that all soldiers have herpes?
No, I'm implying all horses have herpes.
Oh, thank you.
So she's showing off this horse at the big open house, and it's great, and she's doing great with the horse, and then telling the story of it. Hey, it's a success. And then afterwards, Val goes, I'd say that horse is drugged.
Are you kidding me Val?
Shut up.
I almost spit out my coffee. That is so rude. Like, everybody clearly is around you and enjoying this thing, and you pipe up, oh, it's drugged. You drugged a horse.
Yeah, come to my ranch where we don't drug horses. We just whip them and beat them. Isn't that better?
She also calls it the oldest trick in the book, so you better believe that Val's drugging horses.
Oh, for sure she is. You kidding me? Show me the needle marks. Where's Glammother? She was drugging horses or something like that.
Like, I know Val's kind of a piece of crap, but, like, to imply that they drugged a horse.
No, not imply it. Not imply it. Explicitly, like, accuse them of doing it.
Implying it would have been, like, at least a little bit more tactful. Like, you villain. You villain, Val.
The fact that Grandpa Jack didn't just slug her across the face when she said that and went, this open house is over. Get everybody out of here.
This is a mockery.
Hey, that's Colin Mockery. Famous Canadian actor Colin Mockery.
He's got to be in an episode, right? Canadian superstar improver?
I wonder if there's a crossover with the Ronnie James Blackfly. I wonder if there's a crossover with those, if that show shows up in here.
Well, probably Blackfly, Blackadder.
Sure.
Like a bunch of British stuff, because Canadians love British.
Of course, yeah. Blackfly, Blackadder, Black Adam. All the blacks are there.
Aaron Black.
Hey, Aaron Black, that's me.
That's you.
And then, so not only does she say the horse is drugged, although I do love that Lisa, the owner of Promise, is like, no, it's not. That horse is fine. I can attest for it. I got this girl's back. You're a bitch, Val. That horse is not drugged. Why are you here, Val?
She shouldn't be there. She's there to say that horse is drugged.
Yeah, and then Val is like, well, I got a horse that won't jump. Fix it right now for us. Fix it in front of everybody right now. And Amy is kind of an idiot. Like, what she should have said was, yeah, that's not how it works, Val, and I won't be baited by you into potentially making a fool of myself in front of these people because you're upset about Promise.
Yeah, and everybody there knows horses. Like, these are horse people that have been invited to this thing. They should be able to see through you very easily.
Well, yeah, and we should also mention Val had Promise before. Lisa had hired Val to fix Promise before, and Val failed. They couldn't, BR Ranch couldn't fix, maybe BR Ranch, maybe that's, I don't know, that might be, maybe it's just BR. BR, like, couldn't fix Promise. So, of course, Val's chapped about it. She just got dummied in front of everybody.
Assless chaps all over the place.
Oh, my God. Hey, going back a little bit, what did you think of that scene where Ashley has, like, Amy cornered Ashley's like, they sent Promise to you? Oh, yeah, we know what that's about. What that horse needs is a bullet through its head, and that's exactly what's going to happen when your little faith healing act doesn't work. And I was like, God damn, Ashley.
BR Ranch and everything that it has produced is evil as heck. And that's that's in full display in this episode. They want you to, like, hate Ashley. They want you to hate Val. And they're the bad guys.
Yeah. So Val challenges Amy to fix her horse in 1 second in front of a crowd of people. And Amy goes, all right, motherfucker, yeah, let's do this. And then does it. Just yeah. fixes the horse in front of everyone, making Val look like a, if you'll pardon the expression, horse's ass.
So I think in this stage, you've got all these people that would offer business to this ranch now. The ranch is totally fixed. Like, this type of situation, this type of story would live on in infamy. Like, everybody would know to take their horse to Amy now.
Yeah.
So I don't know how the ranch is going to fail.
Right, and what a dummy Val is. Like, how Val just embarrassed herself in front of everyone there. And Amy just showed her up and then was very nice about it afterwards. When she returns the horse to her, she goes, oh, what did she say? Something about, like, I think you get your money's worth now, and gives her the reins. And it's like, that's Amy. I like you. You dummied this dumb idiot.
I love this whole story because it's like the weight of a whole ranch and a family put upon the shoulders of a 15-year-old. And she's kicking butt at it.
Yeah.
And falling in love in the process.
Oh, my God. Hey, learning a lot about living and a little about love.
She's running and gunning. Oh, I can't wait till guns are introduced.
Oh, my God. I can't wait till the Calgary Stampede shows up in this. We see a picture of their dad, of Daddy. And he was an old rodeo rider, and he's in this picture, he's getting a $50,000 check from the Calgary Stampede, and I was like, yeehaw, buddy, I can't wait to go to the Stampede.
I can't wait to dig into the father role and see how he effed up, see how he gets back into Amy's heart Grandpa Jack's heart.
His heartland.
Yeah, well, this is a part of the heartland. He might even raise Marion from the dead for an episode.
Yeah, sure. I was so bummed that we didn't get a ghost mom, because, like, there's a moment where, like, Amy and Pegasus are, like, in the barn, and they're kind of like, oh, you're not eating. And then all of a sudden this, like, silhouette of a woman appears in the doorway, and you're like, oh my God. And everyone's like, oh my God, is that our mom? And then it's not. It's just Lou's friend wearing their mom's jacket. But, like, yeah, I was like, oh, please introduce a ghost mom into this show. That's all we need.
Yeah, ghost mom would have been great. And I bet you the actress or actor that played Marianne was like, please let there be a ghost mom.
I know it's not in. I know the show's grounded in reality. Please let there be a ghost mom.
Yeah, except for shoving lavender up a horse's nose. This is so, so much reality.
Please, it was Bergamon that the horse liked. Yeah, I wrote right, that down. Right. I wanted to know what the horse liked. He likes Bergamon.
Yeah, it's Bergamon.
Lisa, the owner of that horse that the blind kid gave to her, is, like, flirting like crazy with Grandpa Jack. And is like, damn, Grandpa Jack, don't even think about going after Val. Which he's not. He's not interested in Val. Lisa's where it's at. And she even says, she's like, oh, yeah, I got a nephew that I'm raising right now. I'm raising my nephew, and I just having trouble connecting with him. And, you know, he's like, well, if I can do anything to help, let me know. And she's like, well, I might just take you up on that. Every boy needs a good man in his life. Heck, who doesn't? And she kind of, like, hits him a little bit, and you're like, oh, damn, Lisa. Okay, all right.
Her very flirty lean into him is a great move, because it shows that you're interested, but you're also a strong woman, and you're not going to, like, grab his bicep or something.
No, you're not going to grab his chunnel. You're going to you're gonna just, like, yeah, just kind of, just make, just, you know, just make some skin-to-skin contact.
Yeah, I love that when Val basically does the same thing, he's just like, nah, like in episode 2 or whatever, mm-hmm. or 1. But Lisa's got the goods, and he can see that. And also, Grandpa Jack is still young and virile.
Yeah, he could still sire some kids if he wanted. I mean, I doubt it. His kids, his arms all rotten and old. His kids would come out with 4 hands and, you know, eyes on the back of their head. They'd be little mutants if he had kids.
Yeah. But strong extra hands.
Obscenely strong. You need more hands.
Yeah, I bet you a ranch owner would love to have a kid with 4 arms.
My little Goro boy, you can put a fence post like nobody's business.
as long as it's symmetrical and he can still get laid to Sire and Heir, go for it.
Mm-hmm. And then we got a race of supermen who all have four arms and two legs. Very cool.
The denouement, the party that they have after Amy shows up Val, goes on for way too long. I felt like a lot of that was like episode filler.
I mean, yeah, potential. Despite how much story is in this episode, yeah, it does feel a little like, oh, we're still doing this part, huh? Okay, well, fair enough, yeah.
And there's like extra shots of the party, like some that are like super dark and it's super late, and some in like the correct light, and is just like, you're just padding shots right now. Like, make this episode end, please.
Right. There's nothing I hate more than day for night filming. It looks bad every time. Like, oh, everyone's just gray and dead looking now. Like, it never looks good. I get why they do it, but like. Yeah, it's always a disappointment. In this episode, they're like dancing on. They have a dance floor, and it's nighttime, and there's lanterns hung up over the dance floor. But because it's a day for night swap, none of the lanterns are lit up. So it just looks like they're dancing in the dark under lanterns. And like, that's bad, guys. That's bad. Do better.
One thing about like new streaming shows is that they can be whatever length of episode they want, so they don't have to have that like filler shot,
right?
And they don't have to have that filler scene that doesn't really have much in it. But we're stepping back in time. We're seeing a world beyond ours, and that in itself is beautiful.
Oh yeah. You know what else is beautiful? The fact that Lou invites Daddy to come to this open house, and then sure enough, he does.
Yeah, and you finally get the first confrontation between Grandpa Jack and him. Grandpa Jack wins.
Well, kind of, yeah, yeah. I mean, he's got every right to kick him off his property.
Yeah, and, like, despite what Amy's reaction is, Amy did just have an amazing day, and she doesn't need this thrust upon her at end of an amazing day, so... Mm-hmm. I think he's in the right to kick him off.
I agree. And that was not the right time for Daddy to come back. But Daddy will be there. Don't you worry. I'm sure he's a full cast member by the next season.
Yeah. My second big note was when Lou calls Daddy, Daddy. I was like, Daddy?
Yeah.
All right. Settle down, Lou.
I did like
that. You're like 30.
When they met in the town, and then he's like getting ready to leave. And just before he gets in the truck, he goes, oh, and get your coffee off my truck. That's pretty funny.
Get your freaking coffee off my truck.
Get your soy milk big city latte off my truck. We drink black coffee out here, and it sucks, and we hate it.
Well, that's just the cowboy way. Sometimes you gotta give those kids a strong hand of justice.
That's right, yeah. Sometimes you gotta frick your whole life up and come crawling back on your belly.
Again, I'm excited for the next episode.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure if Baker Vance will ever come back, but we got Humpty Dumpty, and yeah. I think you guys can really look forward to that.
We have our 1 minute salute to Humpty Dumpty, our fallen hero. Every episode, it's gonna happen now.
Every episode.
One last note I have: the closing song, like as the show fades out, the lyrics of it are "I'm a coward," and it keeps repeating "I'm a coward," and then. When it fades to black, the song says, I'm a coward, and on the screen it flashes, in memory of Joan Murphy. Like, that's a pick a different song for this moment, I guess.
Yeah, I guess thematically you're having a song that shows insecurities of these characters, but it's unnecessary to display coward over and over again.
And to put it over in memorial.
In memorial, yeah.
This is very funny and inadvertently tasteless, and I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we love you, Heartland.
Oh,
never change.
Oh, yeah, you're the best, Heartland. Yeah, well, hey, until next week, I guess. I love you.
I love you.
We love you.
If dressage and orphans,
I didn't turn it down.
Were my
I
cowgirl
should.
Prayers. Gotta raise some money.
I thought
just save the camp, I swear.
Thumb, I thought you were
jacking off.
Save
the ranch or save the farm. Lord knows they're always in financial trouble.
That I will never.
It's cowgirl summer with your boys. Hallelujah, amen. Heaven bless the show, Heartland. Hallelujah, amen. Amen.
man.
Yeah.